Hi guys, you know it is such a privilege to be able to speak to you today, to have this message streamed straight into your context and meet you where you are. My prayer is that this would be life-giving to you. You know, last week our senior leader, Dave Belfield, he brought a message entitled New Day, New Way. And essentially what he was saying is for us to if we just keep doing the same thing over and over again, we're going to get the same results over and over again. It's going to kind of feel a little bit like Groundhog Day. Now, I don't know about you, but I really don't want that for my life, and I know God doesn't want that for yours either. So if we're going to take a hold of this new day that God has for both you and I, we really need to get a grip of what is this new way he's calling us to. Do you know the early Christians, like thousands of years ago, they were called followers of the way. That's because Jesus says in John 14, he says, I am the way, I'm the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for me. The gift that Jesus is to you and I is that he has not only made a way back for us into the presence and into a relationship with God, but he has also come down on earth to show us the tangible ways of God. I'm so grateful for that. But my question that I really hope that I can unpack today in this message is, what is the ways of God? I want to read a scripture, and it's taken from 1 John 4, verse 7 to 8. And I believe the writer here, John, unpacks this very question of what is the way of God? Let's read it together. It says, God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, I don't know about you, but I find that quite a challenge, because what is love? And God is basically saying that it is far more than a sentimental feeling. In our world where we literally, you know, have heart emojis and I heart you, and, you know, sentences like, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Like, I don't know about you, but I have no idea what that means. But if you take your definition of love from an earthly understanding, I think we're going to fall short. But God says, I am love. Not that he just loves, but that he is love. It is a fundamental part of who he is. He can't just give it. It is literally, if God, and I don't know if he does, but if he has DNA, what he's saying is, love is in my DNA. It is who I am. It is my nature. And so if you know the nature of love, you will know me. This is what he's saying. I want us to really camp for the next 10 minutes in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, even if you have never read your Bible, you may already have heard of this verse, because often this scripture is read at wedding ceremonies. And the reason I think it's, and it's not a coincidence, that in a place where people are committing to one another for a lifelong journey together, they read a scripture based on love. I think when it comes to relationship, God's saying, for you to know me, you have to understand the foundation that our relationship's built on, and it's me, that the fact that I am love. So I want to read this to you. It's taken from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7. This is the way of love. The way of love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. This is the way of love. You know, we've kind of started in this scripture of Corinthians kind of in the middle. the first few verses, verses 1 to 3, actually unpack the power of love and that the meaning love brings to our lives. It literally says that you can have wisdom, you can have knowledge, you can speak eloquently, you can have faith so strong that you can tell a mountain to move and it moves. But if you don't have love, Paul says you have nothing. The author of this scripture says, like, you have nothing. He goes on to say that you can give all your possessions away to the poor and feel really good about yourself. But if you don't have love, you have nothing. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can feel like, oh, you know, I'm growing in my understanding and I'm doing good things and, you know, I'm speaking maybe eloquently, which for me is not all the time, but okay, that all could be happening. But if I don't have love, one of the versions of the scripture says that love, without love, life is bankrupt. I wonder if you can feel like that sometimes, like life on the outside appears like it should be good, but there's something missing. And I want to suggest to you, maybe it is the understanding of that the nature of God and love that he has for you, because it's who he is. You know, love is just so important. It literally is what brings life meaning. And this way of love, this love that is patient and kind, it makes the nature of God tangible to us. Love not only brings meaning, and I believe it's where identity is found, but it also makes the nature of God tangible. When we see things like patience and kindness, when we're not envious or boastful or arrogant, you know, this is the way of love. This is what makes the nature of God tangible for us. If you are a part of our church community here at Today's Community Church, recently you may know that Eunice Horton, an incredible woman who is part and has been for many, many years, been a part of this faith community. She went to be with Jesus recently, and we celebrated her life this week. And as I thought about Eunice, I thought about that she was so many of these ways of love. And I know that her life has not only impacted mine, but I echo the sentiments of many of you that she impacted your love. But not because she was this larger-than-life character, but because she made the love of God tangible for you and I. In John 13, 35, it says, "When you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are a true follower." We knew that Eunice was a true follower because of how she loved. She was patient and she was kind and she was the furthest thing from boastful or arrogant. And she endured. You know, even in the midst of sickness, she endured and she believed all things and hoped all things. She was a pivotal person in my journey with God. Because I'll be honest, when I first came to faith, I remember someone saying to me, "God loves you." I also remember thinking, "I don't know what to do with that." And kind of like parked it because my definition of love came from the world around me. And I didn't really feel that lovable. I didn't really know what this love was. And so I just kind of put it to one side. But when I came into a friendship with Eunice and I started to see her kindness and her just the way she loved, she made the love of God tangible for me. And it is where I really, truly started to form a relationship with God. And so no longer did I just do the things because I saw other Christians do them. I saw other Christians, you know, go to church, read their Bible, pray, and so I did those things. But for a long time, they didn't fill that void. It was only when I truly understood the love of God that I then started to have a heart response that I wasn't going to church because I had to. It was because I knew I was loved and I wanted to have that relationship. And I'll be forever grateful for Eunice for that. But we can be a Eunice to somebody. You know, in Corinthians, after it kind of unpicks that these are the ways of love, it says that love should mature us, that love should grow us. If we respond to it and if we grow in the ways of love, we should grow in maturity. It said, the writer says here that I once spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but then I became an adult and I put aside those childish things. Love matures the way we speak. Love matures the way we think, and love matures the way we reason. You know, here at today's Community Church, we want to help you live the Jesus way so that you can enter into the fullness of the day that God has called you to. But what is it to live the Jesus way? And so we put some language to that to help us. And it's love, grow, serve. We believe if we activate and outwork these things, that we will start to have lives that mirror the Jesus way. We love practically. We grow relationally, both with God and His people. And we serve daily. It is out of our heart's response. I want to tell you a little story where this message, which I believe is just the start of a conversation that God wants to have with you. It started with a cheeky little wish list. I don't know if you have a cheeky little wish list, but my love language is gifts. Okay, so my husband knows this, and I have a cheeky little wish list, and on this cheeky little wish list, I think if I keep calling it cheeky, then maybe, like, you know, he'll kind of engage with it more, I don't know. But anyway, so on this cheeky little wish list is that I've always wanted a little blue bag. Now, for some of you, you may not know what this little blue bag is, but it is a Tiffany bag, okay? And inside this Tiffany bag, honestly, I have always wanted a little Tiffany box. Yes, I have. Now, this has started, this journey with my cheeky little wish list started some time ago. For our 10-year wedding anniversary, we were in Rome, and it was the day of anniversary. My husband says, right, honey, you know that cheeky little wish list? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take you to Tiffany's. I'm like, this is amazing. So we go to Tiffany's. That's it. We just go to Tiffany's. I mean, the security guard is looking at us like weird. He has no intention to take me inside and buy me something sparkly. He just said, I took you to Tiffany's. So I'm like, okay, funny, not. But if this Christmas, I have to say he did buy me a ring, but not at Tiffany's. But this Christmas, under my Christmas tree, was a blue Tiffany bag. And I was so excited. And inside this bag was a little box. And if you know me, you'll know I love stationery. I absolutely adore it. And there were these beautiful Tiffany postcards. Now, they are literally white with the signature blue Tiffany ring just like around the edges. And I was like, darling, thank you so much. I love these. And I often, when I do a message like this, I will write them on pretty postcards and I will put them in. And so he said, you can write your message on. I was like, thanks. I don't know what made me think. I am a bit cheeky by nature. So I was like, I hope they weren't expensive. Maybe I felt guilty about the cheeky little thing. And I was like, and he didn't answer the question. He just said, you're worth it. So I was like, sweetie, later on, I really appreciate those cards. That was so thoughtful. I hope they weren't too expensive. Darling, you're worth it. I was like, now don't judge me on the next bit because I know it's rude and I know it's not like, but I Googled how much these postcards were. I mean, I know it's bad to like Google the price of your present. It's all kinds of wrong. I know this. We've had conversations. Don't you worry about it. But I Googled it. Now, in the chat feed, wherever you are, put how much you think. By the way, it's 10 postcards, 10 white postcards with a little blue edge. How much do you think 10 Tiffany postcards cost? I'm going to let you do that. If you say £10, have you played higher or lower? Higher. 20, higher. 30, higher. 40, higher. 50, higher. 60, higher. These 10 postcards cost him £70. And then I had some different thoughts go on. I was like, is he mad? £70. I mean, talk about an ungrateful wife. I know. But I'm like, £70. I'm dyslexic, by the way. The chances are of me writing a message on one of these cards without making a £7 mistake per card is highly unlikely. And I'm thinking, how outrageous is that? How outrageous. Then I'm thinking, what a scandal that Tiffany's get to charge £70 for great stationery, but postcards. And then I felt God drop it on my heart. And he went, Siobhan, that is merely a glimpse of how much I love you. That extravagant gift, that scandal of grace. I've given you a gift that cost me everything because I thought you were worth it. And he thinks you are worth it. But what would be worse is if I received a gift like this and just left them thinking I'm not worthy to write on them, and I have, and I've made mistakes, and they're not perfect, but I use the gift that was given to me because that's how I honor it. You know what? You don't honor God when you don't feel worthy of taking his love and using it. You're never going to be worthy. Let's just get over that. But he still thought you were worth it. Lord, I just thank you for every life touched. I pray that we would trust steadily in you, God, that we would hope unswervingly, and that we would love extravagantly. And we say that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're gonna come to a point of discussion now. And I've got two questions that I would love for the next 5 minutes for you to unpack in your homes together or wherever you are. Start to reflect on these questions. And then when we're finished, within 5 minutes, we're going to come back. Rachel will share some information, and we're going to have another opportunity to sing and celebrate and worship our incredible God. And these are the two questions I'd love you to think and ponder on. Have I received the love of Christ? And what ways of love do I need to adopt so that others would know I am a follower of the way? Thanks, guys.